Well, we're going to talk tonight, this evening I should say, about discernment. How many of you, you ask the Lord for discernment? Don't you? I try to often. To discern, well, what's that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked these questions, and you're such a talkative church. I'm so thankful for that. Hebrews chapter 5. All right. Let's look at, let's skip down. Let's read verse 12, if you will. Hebrews 5:12. Notice what it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He says the basics, the ABCs of it, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, full maturity, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, notice here, to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. So tonight just talking about this subject of discernment. Now the word means literally judicial estimation. Meaning you, in the balance of your mind, you weigh it out, don't you? A judicial estimation. And as we grow in grace, we learn how to discern between both good and evil, or right and wrong. This enables us to please the Lord in all that we do, and this should be our goal. Now turn back to chapter 4. Just back a page, usually, in your Bible, chapter 4. Again, notice, verse 12, you know where I'm going. He talks about the Word of God. Well, what is it? It's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and, notice, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the greatest tool we have in discernment, you know, is the Word of God, isn't it? The Bible. And it'll change your life. But it gives you discernment. It gives you wisdom. Solomon asked and pleaded to God for what? That wisdom and that discernment. He said, I want to know how to judge so great a people. I don't know how to come out and come in. By the way, one of the greatest principles I've learned recently is you don't have to know everything, but you need to pray that God would surround you with people that do know what they're doing. Isn't that good? That's what Solomon did. He said, Lord, I don't even know how to put my shoes on. I'm being funny, but he says, I don't know what to do. But I want to know how to judge this thy people. And God says, that's exactly what I was hoping you'd say. And he says, because you said that or prayed that, I'm going to give you much more than that. So tonight, we don't have to know everything, but we should pray, God, put in my life and put around me people that do know what they're doing, and on a side note, that make me look good. Okay, no, that's just a side note. That's exactly what we ought to do. Now, discernment is something, obviously, we know we should all be seeking after. Well, what is it? And I want to share with you five questions tonight, and we'll get into each one. Don't get nervous. Five questions we should ask to discern, to be able to discern a specific thing. Well, number one, am I fully persuaded this is right? Number two, can I do this as unto the Lord or for the glory of God? Thirdly, will I be ashamed of this, the decision I make, at the judgment seat of Christ? Fourth, will this cause someone in my life around me to stumble or fall? And five, am I doing this thing by faith? By faith. Okay, now we're going to look at those. Okay, so let's look at the first one. First of all, am I fully persuaded that this is right? Now, this is very clear to us. As we come back to here, we're going to see in a minute how that we ought to be seeking God, obviously, in every decision that we make. And there's the first mistake I make. I don't always seek the Lord. Do you? In every decision, Lord, what should I do? Now, some things just come, you know, we know what to do. They just come naturally. We don't have to ask the Lord for every specific thing. But we should in those decisions, major decisions, and even maybe not so major, we are asking the Lord, Lord, what should I do? Now, am I fully persuaded that it's the right thing to do? Okay, we must be considerate of the people around us in making these decisions. Now, Romans chapter 14 talks about a lot of this. In fact, let's go there. I've got several verses there. Romans 14, if you're able to go there, Romans 14, he says in verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. He's talking about making the decisions and applying it. In particular, there were some individuals there in this local congregation that were judging other people or criticizing other people for doing something that Paul says really wasn't wrong. He says, be careful about that. Under this point of, do I believe this is the right thing to do? Am I considerate of other people? Well, it's the right thing to do. Well, it may hurt some people, right? I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but I'm going to just do what I think is right. Well, it may hurt the people around us. And that's what he's talking about. We understand this. We must then be fully persuaded about the matter. We are not to act from our opinion. We are not to act from our emotion. And how many times, and I'll say of myself, how many times have I acted out of that opinion or emotion and not am I fully persuaded that it's the right thing to do? And a lot of times the right thing to do is the hard thing to do, isn't it? Oh boy, I thought about that. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., a great pastor and evangelist of the past, but he would say that. Do what's right. Just always do what's right. And it's easy to say, hard to do, though. And you come to the point, well, I don't know which way is right. That's our first question. And understanding that. Now, secondly, that kind of explains itself. Secondly, can I do this as unto the Lord? Now, Colossians 3, verse 17, he says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do, whatever you say or whatever you act upon, it's all for the glory of God. So can I do this thing that I'm trying to decide between A or B? Can I do it as unto the Lord? Christ is Lord of all. We belong to him. We influence others. We know. We do everything, again, do everything for the Lord's glory. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, you probably know this very well. He says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews or Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit or the profit of many, that they may be saved. Doing it for him. Can I do this unto the Lord, as we said a few weeks ago on our Wednesday night, and following the rules and laws of the land and talking about that? I'm doing it what? For the Lord's sake, as Peter says. Do it for the Lord's sake. Well, I don't know if that's right to do it for the Lord's sake. And understanding those things. So first, am I fully persuaded it's the right thing to do? Secondly, can I do this and act upon this as unto the Lord? And I do it in his name and glorify him and help him in regards to reaching others. And thirdly then, notice, will I be ashamed of this at the judgment seat? Now, we must all stand before the judgment seat. We've already been through this on our Wednesday night series looking at the end times. But every child of God, we know that, will come and give an account. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We understand that. We must give account of our lives, of what it is, what we did. Every idle word that men shall speak shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, Jesus says, Matthew 12. So understanding it, come to a decision in life. There's a lot of characters in the Bible that have had to come to some major decisions in life, had to discern between good and evil, right and wrong. There was three Hebrew boys, Jewish boys, and they made the decision to stand out from the crowd and not go with the crowd. And they decided to do it God's way, didn't they? And they looked out and on that grassy knoll and literally hundreds of thousands of people all bowed down like a bunch of sheep and puppets. There's three boys in the back just standing up. Hey, you need to bow down. I don't know if you understand our language or what your problem is, but remember, down, bow down. No, no comprendo. We know bow down. No. And what happens? Well, they had to make a decision, didn't they? They had to discern. Can I bow down to this false, sick, perverted idol, which it was? Nasty, perverted thing. Can I do that as unto the Lord? They all calculated it out for a few minutes. Nope. Am I fully persuaded that this is the right thing to do? Nope, it's not. Yeah, it's your burn. So be it. So be it. And that's exactly the thing they told the king, right? What'd they say? The Lord will save us. But if not, trusting the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, the mercy, whatever you want to call it. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. That's what they said. You go on throughout Scripture. Little Esther came. And again, they said, you can't go in there without being invited. He's going to take your head off. She said, well, if I perish, I perish. Had to discern. I'm going to make a decision. Why? Not only is it right and is it unto the Lord, but I am not going to be ashamed of that at the judgment day. And for me, I'm going to have a lot of shame when it comes to that day. I don't know about you. A lot of shame. When I woulda, shoulda, coulda. And too lazy to do certain things. Too lazy, too weak, too apathetic, not enough faith to do what God told me to do, right? Too weak. And thinking about that, always looking for the bigger, brighter, better day. God says just stay where you are. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Now think about that. Trusting God in the midst of all of it. As we see throughout Scripture, I'm not going to go through life worried about what people think of me. This is exactly what Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed anymore. You realize before that, Paul did everything for people. He did everything to look good in front of people. Remember what he told to the church at Philippi? He says, you want to talk about a Hebrew of the Hebrews? You want to talk about a Jew of the Jew? A Jew of the Jew, the proudest Jew to ever live was sent not to the Jews. Who was he sent to? To the Gentiles, which he hated. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you don't like. And I've learned that one many times. And you think about that. I'm not ashamed. Why? He said that. Why? Because prior to that, he was ashamed constantly. Constantly ashamed. Always worried about how he looked in front of people, what he said, the right things, did the right things. Okay, let's look at number four. Will I cause someone to stumble because of this? Because of this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, if you can. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Let me see if I'm in the right place. Oh, yes, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. He says, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He goes through, again, you know the list of things. I won't read any more of that. I've got other verses, but you think about, well, I cause someone else to stumble. He says what? Don't render evil to evil. Follow that which is good, right? Encourage each other. Help each other. All of that. We're our brother's keeper. Very interesting to think about. A lot of people say, well, am I my brother's keeper? Who said that? Remember? Cain said, well, am I my brother's keeper? What do you want to know? Why are you asking me? It's not my responsibility. We are, though. We are our brother's keeper. We clearly are. We're there. He says in Romans 14, you don't have to turn there because we already came out of there, but 14 verse 13, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block, notice, or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So you, in fact, are your brother's keeper. You're the one that should be reaching the brethren and the saints of God. And you think about that. If every church, you know that, I know I'm preaching to you dear people, but every church would do their part, every member of the church would do their part, boy, we could do some good things, right? And it's easy to talk about, but as we understand that, is helping my brethren to become a better Christian. Are you helping the people around you become a better child of God? Are you helping people around you become a better person? Oh, again, I think about so many people in the Bible. And again, I'm going back through I started back over in my Bible reading, and I'm up to Leviticus now. But I thought about people like Moses and Abraham, and we read this morning, Joseph. These people, they helped other people become better Christians. And Abraham came, and as horrible as Lot treated Abraham, what did he do? He just continually helped the guy, didn't he? He just continually went after and helped. Oh, my goodness. He went out and got himself in trouble. Abraham had to go out and help him. He went down into Sodom there. Abraham had to go, pleaded with the Lord, physically pleaded, didn't he? If you find 10 righteous, would you destroy it? You think about that. Moses dealing with not only the people, later on his own brother and sisters and everybody else that criticized him and everything else, right? He helped them become a better Christian, a better person for Christ. This takes a great self-sacrifice. It takes a great control of the tongue, and it takes a great control of our opinions and ambitions and everything else we could say. So we think about it. We're a brother's keeper. We are to then practice that which will build him up. We'll build him up, and we stop good things if they cause someone to stumble. Now think about that. We stop doing good things if it causes somebody else to stumble. He says in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Now Paul would later say, you know that. He says, I'd rather not even do it if it causes someone else to stumble, right? Somebody else to fall away from the things of God. And so we want to be that, helping others to become a better Christian. And dare and sad be the day that our child turns and points and says, well, it's because of you that I'm not serving Christ, or whatever the case would be, one of the fears that I have. It is because of you that I no longer go to church, or whatever the case would be. We're helping them to go forward. And fifthly, are we doing this? Are we making this decision? Are we going down this path by faith? Are we going to do it by faith? Now, am I fully persuaded it's right? Do I have the right convictions? Do I have strong convictions? Do we have the faith then to act upon those convictions? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that. And God has given us the Bible to instruct us how to always please Him. He's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to know and to do what's right. Are we persuaded? So am I doing this by faith? We're to live by faith. Faith pleases God. Faith causes us and brings great joy to our lives. Doubt condemns us and makes us and takes away our joy and our happiness, truly does. If we to refrain from that doubt, what do we do? He says, well, if it's doubtful, then it's probably not right. And you think about that. It is a sin to do anything that is not right to think about. It is wise to always stand by our convictions and do it. Anyways, to get past that. So we understand and see some of these questions that we ask ourselves. Discernment. Now discernment then, let me say here, bringing on the last point, it comes only through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Very clear. We have our own discernment, and that comes by an accumulated education. What we've accumulated over the years, what books we've read, what classes we've gone through, what education, both in the classroom and outside in the real world, what you've had to experience and go through, that's an education. And that's what brings us discernment, right? You don't put your finger under the hammer. You've already learned that that's a bad idea. You don't put your foot under the car or your fingers in the car door. You understand, those are things. We try and teach the kids, as we started out with, Paul says you need milk. We're trying to teach them right now, the very little ones, what? Don't touch the stove. Hot. Burn. Owie. No touch. Thinking through that. This is the stuff we accumulate over time of our own discernment. Well, when we get to a mature age of what Paul is talking about, he says you get to a mature age and you're not there yet. You're still needing milk. Well, you need the discernment that comes only through the Word of God. The discernment that now only comes through the Holy Spirit. And I re-emphasize this again, but the Holy Spirit and the Word of God never, ever contradict each other. Never have and never will. Why? Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible. So you understand that. But anyways, we come to this full age, and now we have, on top of our own accumulated discernment, we now have a supernatural discernment to be able to make decisions not based upon some factual evidence in front of us, but what? By faith. And people are going to laugh at us when we make a decision maybe and say, that's a really bad decision. You say, no, I think that's the decision from God. I know it's right to do. I know it'll bring glory to His name. I know I won't be ashamed of it at the judgment seat. I know these things. I know it won't cause someone else to stumble. You on all of these principles, and you make the decision. And it won't always be the popular decision. God has always been in the minority, hasn't he? Ms. Wilma was telling about the remnant today. We're the remnant. I mean, you think about it. He's always been with the few. And you think about it. And every church mentioned in the scriptures really doesn't have a number on it. God doesn't emphasize the number game very much. We know in the book of Acts there was given numbers, but per se. And you think about it, he's seeking for people not to cause a big stir up, a big thing, a big hornet's nest that we knock over and cause a big problem. Notice it, people to be faithful. And we think through, am I making the right decisions for Christ? Discernment comes to us. Lord, give me discernment. Show me what to do. Show me how to do it. We go through the scriptures and find these individuals that stood out. And one being Timothy. I love studying the life of Timothy. But he came from a broken home. And Paul picked him up on his journey. You know that, didn't he? He picked him up. And he came through and he said, I want you to come with me. And Timothy said, well, okay. We don't know all of what happened there. The Bible doesn't record that. But okay, I'll come with you. And he came with him, and along with him came several other people, several other younger men. That's what Paul liked to do. And several of them, you know, fell away. Right, one like Demas, he fell away having loved this present world. But Timothy stuck it out, him and Titus. Titus stuck it out as well. Boy, they were good, faithful boys. And anyways, they went through, and Timothy had to make a decision. He had to make a decision. And he left, no doubt, a very good opportunity to be educated, a very good opportunity to make a lot of money. And he went ahead and what? He followed Paul. Now this decision that he made based upon the spiritual discernment led him to his death, as usually most of these individuals did, died the martyr's death. But you think about, he made the decision to go ahead and do what God led him to do. And he based it upon that. Now, if you and I are not fully convinced from the Word of God that the thing is right, then don't do it. If you're like me, I know it's not right, but I try and, do it anyways, make excuses. Lord, well, I do need that. I need it. There's excuses here, and you come up with them. We apply the principles to any practice which we're questioning and finding no specific directive in the Bible. Well, what do? We ask the questions again, okay? So is it right to do? Will it please the Lord? Will I be ashamed of it? Will it cause someone else to stumble? Am I doing it by faith? Am I doing it by faith? And you put all your ducks in a row and all your eggs in a basket and you go, okay, Lord, well, this is what I can do. Well, God says, I understand and know that, but I want to see what you'll do by faith. I want to see what you do by faith. Well, Lord, you know I don't got that money. All that money needs to go over here. God says, I know that. You don't think I can take care of that stuff? You don't think I can pay your bills tomorrow? Why don't you go ahead and do that by faith? You don't think I can take care of your job? Yeah, but Lord, if I quit now and serve you full time, I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't think I'll help you out and give you, take care of your family? I'm just saying, you think about now, tonight, discernment. Oh, I need it. I need it. And many people have discerned the right thing. Sad to say, many Christians have not made the right decision and have, in the moment of discernment, when they should have exercised that and used it, they didn't, did they? And to their own demise, to their own fault, to their own foolishness. As I said this morning, I think of the man Pilate. Pontius Pilate was a highly educated man, obviously a very, very famous and popular man, obviously to get to that level, to that position, but he had zero discernment. He was right there, wasn't he? Right there, zero discernment. He said, I know you've not done anything wrong, but no discernment, zero discernment. Nebuchadnezzar had zero discernment, didn't he? Oh, and so many. Pharaoh had no discernment. And you think through, how many times have we failed at discerning and going the right direction? Have you asked yourself these questions? Lord, I can't find it in the Bible. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and you won't give me an answer. Here's some easy questions you can ask that really point it out for us and help us in our decision making. And I hope that you do, and I know you do. I know you do. But discernment, do you have it? Come back to the Word of God and read the Bible. You say, where do I read? Anywhere's good. It's all good in the neighborhood, but it's all good. Start reading the Bible and study the Bible and study Let us know. Let us know what you read. Let us know what you find out. One of our kids recently said something about that. Daddy, and they asked me a question and I wasn't prepared for it. Daddy, it says this in the Bible. What does that mean? I said, well, you know, I tried to act real, you know, smart. I don't know. I said, well, you know, that, you know, the Lord says right there that, and they came back with another question. I said, I don't know, okay? I don't know. Think about that tonight. The Bible gives us the discernment we need. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just a reminder, our thoughts and intents will deceive us. They lead us astray. As much as we love ourselves, it leads us astray to another place, to a wrong place, and we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. Just as Joseph, we talked about this morning, in every pivotal moment of his life, every pivotal decision he had to make, he trusted the Lord, didn't he? He said, well, I could go this way or that way. I could go ahead and have sex with that lady, but I better not. I can go ahead and I'll go ahead and hang all of my brothers and torture them all to death like they did to me. I'll go ahead and do. No, what'd he say? No, I'm going to do it God's way. I'll go ahead and trust the Lord. As hard as that is, isn't it? Trust the Lord. I know, Lord. I know. I'll trust you. And ultimately, what did it do? It saved much people alive. Okay, well, anyways, I'll stop there talking about discernment. Lord willing, we'll continue with discernment next week. I don't know yet. I shouldn't even say it because I don't know. The Lord changes it. Anyways, praying that you have discernment and spending time in Scripture and in prayer, and you will have the discernment. Pray God, give me that wisdom and discernment that you talk about that we should have. He wants us to have it. Lord, thank you for this evening and your graciousness to us and your mercy. We're so grateful. And I say often on Sunday nights, I know I'm preaching to these people, these dear precious saints, Lord, that love you and are faithful to you, and they serve you every day. And I thank you for it. What a joy and a privilege it is to preach to folks like that. And I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord, especially myself, in regards to this, first and foremost, in our decision making, our discernment. The world makes decisions tonight based upon lust and pleasure and self-gratification. They make decisions that would help and benefit them and them only. And I just pray you'd help us to make the right decisions based upon biblical discernment that only you give. Help us to stay in our Bibles this week and in our prayer closets and stay focused. And really, as you said, occupy till you come. Stay faithful. We know not the day nor the hour. We pray for your help as we go our separate ways this week. Watch over us, protect us, please. Thank you for another day in your house. We love and thank you in Jesus' name, and amen.